Genesis chapter 28. We'll read three verses, 10, 11, and 12. And Genesis chapter 28, verse number 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place, put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And the next three words says, and he dreamed. Well, I've always thought that's amusing. You make your pillows out of stone, you're probably going to be dreaming, doing some dreaming also. And behold a ladder. And notice this, it's set up on the earth. So that means the bottom of it's on the earth. And it says, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. So it's a ladder as we would perceive a ladder. The bottom of it's resting on the earth, the top of it's in heaven. Because there are angels ascending and descending, we must assume that it has steps. And I want to talk to you just a little bit about this ladder and then give you some things that I hope will be a help to you tonight. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for another day to serve you and ask God that you would help us. Oh, we miss our preacher. We always do, him and his wife when they're out of town. We pray for their safety and for you to bring them back safely. Lord, as we gather together here tonight, we're assembled together. We've come to hear your word preached. We've come to hear from you. And we ask that you would please speak to each of our hearts tonight. It's a busy time of year and a lot of things going on, but I pray, Lord, that all of those things would not distract us from learning and hearing the things that we ought tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you so much for the Bible. Lord, how would we know what to do? How would we know what is right? How would we know how to be blessed had you not left us this book? May we be obedient to your commands. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I'm going to construct for you, we're going to construct together tonight, a child-rearing ladder. A child-rearing ladder. I think that children are a blessing. I think children are, the Bible says, a heritage from the Lord. We live in a society that wants to convince you that children are a nuisance. And sometimes they are. But the honest truth is they're a great, great blessing. Privileged to have children. Privileged to have children. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about this ladder, Jacob's ladder. Our young people, if you've been in youth group in the youth program, you've heard Pastor Jerry talk about this ladder so many times that I'm tempted to have a couple of you come up and give the introduction for me. Nothing more exciting than receiving the news as a married couple, receiving the news that you're expecting your first child. I mean, I think probably for most of us, that rates up with some of our greatest memories, our greatest moments that a couple can share together. When, gentlemen, you come home and your wife has this grin on her face and you can tell she knows something. And it's a great moment to realize the Lord has blessed you with a baby. And that then to go through the whole process of that, all of the vomiting, and then there's the more vomiting, and then there's the more vomiting, and amen. And then the dad starts feeling a little better, and the wife starts vomiting. But all that's involved. And then comes that day. I'm trying to make my introduction short because my sermon's real long. So then comes that day where on our first baby, I was, God's so good. He shows himself great in the details of life, in the small details of life. He really does. When we were expecting Amanda, I was finishing up college. At that time, I was working two jobs, going to school. And there was only one night a week where I, during the nighttime, slept in our apartment. Most of the time, I'd catch a little bit of sleep during the afternoons, but there was one night, Saturday night, that I actually went to bed and slept the whole night. And that, of course, was the night that the Lord allowed my wife to go into labor. My wife is probably too sweet. She knew how tired I was, and when she went into labor, she had read all the books and knew all about it, and so she didn't want to wake me because she knew there was that one night that I got a full night's sleep. I know this is unbelievable, but this is really what happened. Instead, she got her little clock out, started timing. You know, ladies, don't do that. Wake him up. And finally, she woke me up. It was probably around midnight, I'm guessing, midnight. She finally woke me up, and I think it's time and all that. I said, did you feel labor pain? No, I've been having them for several hours, and they're down to this far apart, and we probably ought to go. Well, that'll wake you up. I mean, I'm scrambling around, running to the walls, and she's calmly sitting over there with her little stopwatch, timing these things out. But she just about waited too long. And we got going for the hospital, and the hospital's probably about it wasn't that far, but up there everything's far because of the traffic. And it wasn't that far, but it took us about 20, 25 minutes to get to the hospital. And we got about halfway there, and I'm pulling over the side, and we're breathing. Breathe! I think, no, breathe. We're almost there, breathe. You know, so we
get. Was she driving?
I was breathing. We got to the hospital. They got her into the delivery room. The doctor took a while to get there. They're in there trying to postpone everything and delay everything. And as soon as the doctor comes in, I go in and boom, we got a baby. And I mean, it was close. You know, when you get the note, and then there's that, you know, you want to rank up there the greatest moments of your life? I mean, is that not there? Come on. Where all of a sudden a doctor or nurse walks over and puts in your hand for the first time. I mean, that is unbelievable. It really is. It's just awesome. And I just, you did it, Cheryl. You look, you did this. This is, you did good. It's great. It is great. You got all these dreams. You've got all these, you know, everything. I mean, so much is running through your mind. All the things you want for your child. All the things you want to teach your child. All that you want to be for your child. And I think that there's not a parent in the world that doesn't have dreams for their children. And I want to throw together a ladder, because I think that without a ladder, a dream is pretty much worthless. Now listen to me very carefully here. I love this little story in Genesis chapter number 28 because it pictures a ladder that starts on old sinful earth, but it climbs up to the divine, to the celestial. And here Jacob is down here on earth, and he's got some rocks for a pillow, and he's dreaming of something supernatural. And God, in this picture, you know, all inspiration is given, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. There's nothing in there that's not there on purpose. I got to meditating one day on this ladder and asking the question, Lord, why the ladder? Why the dream with a ladder in it? And the Lord showed me, I believe, one of the greatest truths He's ever shared with me. One of those times where you just kind of take a step back and say, wow, thank you, Lord, for opening that up to me. And I think that all of us, we're stuck here on this old sinful planet, but we dream of God doing amazing, miraculous, supernatural things. But you know what? You can lay there and dream all day long, but there's still this great gulf that divides you from where you are to what you dream. And that's the way it is with your children. Every parent has dreams for their kids. I believe every parent has dreams for their kids. But I think some of them have a ladder and some of them don't. And I think that the Bible provides us a ladder that tells us how to get from where we are to what we're dreaming about. See, the Bible never tells us what to do without telling us the steps of how to do it. Amen. That's a good thing. That's a helpful thing. Because if God was only a God that commanded us to do, but never told us how to do, then He would be a pretty cruel God. God doesn't just say, listen, raise up your children in the admonition and nurture the Lord, but He tells us how to do it. And I think, I like this ladder. I take this ladder, and listen, you want a little philosophy of life? Anything, any God-given dream that He's ever given you, any dream that God's given you that comes from God, let me tell you something, there ought to always be a ladder in it, because if not, you'll stand there the rest of your life looking up dreaming, and you'll never get there until you construct a ladder of how to get there. And that ladder needs to be a Bible ladder with Bible, biblical, scriptural steps to take you from where you are to where you're dreaming of being. And if you'll take that little philosophy of life and plug it in, listen, Caleb, God called you to preach, but you know what? That's just a dream. I mean, when you got called to preach, that's as far away from where you were to the distance between heaven and earth. But God doesn't just call you to preach and say, okay, I hope you get there one day. He's got a Bible full of steps that help you and to know how to get one of these days to what to accomplish the dream that He's given you. And that's true of everything. You want to have a happy marriage? You dream of having a happy marriage? There's a Bible ladder that'll get you from where you are to where you need to be. Amen. You dream of being a soul winner. I've never won a soul to Christ. I'd like to be a soul winner, but I don't. Listen, God didn't just tell you, just give you a command. He gave you steps to show you how to get from where you are to where you need, where you can be. And I believe that we need to get in the Bible and dig out those steps. Now, I want to throw together for you. I want to show you that there is a ladder. I think I'm going to call it the child rearing ladder. I think there is a ladder that help will be a blessing and a help to you. To help you to get your children from where they're at when that doctor or nurse comes over and puts that little child in your hand to where you're dreaming that they would one day be. By the way, let me just say this first of all. Make sure that your dream for your children is a God-given dream. We live in a society where parents are dreaming all kinds of spectacular things for their children, but you know what? They don't have anything to do with God. Make sure it's a God-given dream. If you were pressed upon to do this, let me ask you this. Could you, if I ask you to do this, give me a list of 10 things that you dream that when one of these days you turn that child loose from your house? I mean, have you thought it out that clearly? Listen, this is the type of an individual that we want to produce. These are the character traits that we want to be in our children when they leave our house. Do you have Bible dreams for your children? And by the way, if you don't, I want you to make them concrete. Because if you don't know where you're going, how are you going to get there? I like to say this, and I think it's a good way of saying it. I think if one of these days, when you're holding that little baby, one of these days you can, in your mind, transport yourself, and that child's now 18 or 19 or 20 years of age, and somebody who knew your child very, very well would come up to you and say, you know what, they're about to embark on what God's called them to do in life. And let me tell you the 10 things that I see as the outstanding character traits of your child, and they begin to name them. What would you hope that they would say? What would you hope that they would say? Okay, put that all together. And by the way, I don't really care if your list is the same as mine. I just want all of our lists to be Bible-based. And put that up there and say, that's what I dream of, Lord. Now, how do I get there? Can I help you to put together some steps that'll help you? Step number one. By the way, let me get you to relax here for a minute. Now, let me say something. Maybe it'll help you. There are no perfect parents. The only perfect parents I ever met are the ones that don't have kids. They have got it all figured out. They're experts. Some of you that haven't had children yet, and you say, I'll tell you what, when I have kids, I'll probably be around still. Be careful what you say. I will remind you. Amen. But at the same time, we are to do the very, very best we can. And to go to the Bible and with God's grace and help to do the very best we can to raise our children for the Lord. All right, let me throw these things together. Seven-step ladder. We'll go through them quickly. Number one. Step number one. Take one of those attributes that you've thought of. Maybe you don't have your 10 together. Maybe you ought to have more than 10 or less than 10. I don't know. But take that one attribute. I'll tell you what. For the sake of the sermon, let's just follow one attribute. I think most of us believe that the one thing we'd like to see in our young people by the time they... One of the things we'd like to see is an ingrained character trait in our young people when they are 18, 19, embarking into the world is that they would be hard, diligent workers. I don't think too many people hold that baby in their hands and say, my dream is that they'll grow up and be a bum. I mean, you know, you want them to be able to make their way in the world, to be a hard worker, a diligent worker. So let's just use that as an example. All right, number one. Step number one. And I'll have you turn to some scriptures here. Step one, proper evaluation. Proper evaluation. Go to Proverbs chapter 27. We're going to move real quickly now. Proverbs chapter number 27. We'll spend a good deal of time in Proverbs. I think we'll only be leaving it one time. So if you can find Proverbs, you're going to be in good shape. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 23. Number one, proper evaluation. Step number one. Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 23 says, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds." By the way, I think that that can be easily applied to the child, the parent's responsibility to know the state of their flock. I think it can be applied to a pastor to know the state of their flock. But number one, I think the first step to getting your child from where they are to where you dream that they will be is proper evaluation. Now listen to me, parents. Sometimes it's good for us just to step back and look at each of our children one at a time and do a proper biblical evaluation. Well, I want them to do this and be, all right, where are they along that journey? Are there some problems in that area? Let me share something with you. It would be amazing if there wasn't. Children are not born done. They're born, number one, simple. Okay? They're not going to be wise until we put wisdom into them. They aren't born wise. They're born simple. Number two, we've got this working against us. They're born with foolishness bound in their heart. Now that's true. It's called a sin nature. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. In every child, my child, your child, all of them, they're simple, they're untaught, and they have a tendency towards foolishness because of their sinful nature. Okay, so the first thing you've got to do as a parent is look at this situation and say, is my child, wherever they're at the age they are now, I mean, if they're 5, if they're 7, if they're 8, if they're 14, you want one of these days when they're 19 for someone to say, boy, I'll tell you what, if you want a young man to do a job, you hire that young man. You want a young lady, you go get that young lady. Because I'm going to tell you something. She's a hard worker. You don't have to stand there and sit around. She's a hard worker. Well, where are they at? Where are they at? Oh, you're going to get them there by dreaming it true? You see what I'm saying? I think the first thing we need to do is to properly evaluate. Parents, listen to me. Listen to me. You know what? That's hard for parents to do sometimes. Because we have two tendencies. Sometimes we have a tendency to be way too easy and make excuses for them. But at the same time, if we're not careful, sometimes we have a tendency to be way too hard on our own kids. We'd cut everybody else some slack, and sometimes we're way too hard on them. I mean, I don't know where you're at. I've met parents that live here. Most of them bounce in between. You know what I'm saying? And so I think sometimes we have to say, now, God, listen to me. It's hard for me sometimes as a parent to properly evaluate my on children. So Lord, please give me insight. Please give me your mind. Please give me your eyes. Please give me your heart. Because what I'm doing is a great work here. What I'm doing is important. This is going to be for the rest of their life. Listen, you've only given me 18, 19 years. I've got to do it right. And so you properly evaluate them. All right, properly evaluate them. Okay, and evaluate them fairly. You say, well, okay, I'm dreaming that when they're 19, 20, you know, they can work hard. They'll work unsupervised. They'll do a job to completion. Are they doing that now? Probably not. Okay, what are you going to do to get them to where they're? Now, where are they? Where are they on this journey? Are they here? Are they here? Are they here? Where are they? Because you really can't fix anything until you recognize that something needs to be fixed. Number one, proper evaluation. Know the condition of your flock. Number two, step number two. Go to Philippians chapter 4 and save your place here in Proverbs. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. Step one, proper evaluation. I don't think you can really go anywhere and help your children become what they need to be until you look at them and are willing to be honest enough to see where they are now. Where they are now. Number two, pointed prayer. I love this verse. I claim this verse so often. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. Underline this verse if you don't have it underlined. This is a great, great prayer verse. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now listen to me. Let's take a look at what we've done. First step we've done is we properly evaluate. We decide where on the ladder they're at right now. Step number two, I think that this is one of the most important steps. You know what we want to do? We want to rush in and try to fix it. Can I get you to stop a minute? Would you, after you have evaluated where they're at, would you go and spend a time, a season, in pointed, specific prayer, asking God to help you to move your young person on up the ladder in progression to where they need to be? I think prayer is so important. Folks, listen to me. You try to raise children without prayer, you're crazy. You're crazy. Because I'm telling you what, the best parents in the world are going to fail horribly unless they get God involved in it. You know, I think that you ought to pray for your children. Pastors taught us that again and again, but I think you ought to pray specifically. Why don't you lay out those 10 things? Why don't you say, Lord, I want to come to you today and I want to pray for my child. I want to pray for Amanda. Lord, I want you to pray, first of all, Lord, please help her to develop into a hard worker. Yes. And begin to call out these attributes. And you know what it'll do? It'll bring a specific prayer request to God. It'll put it back into your mind every day as you pray for them. And it'll keep your eyes on the goal. All right? Pointed prayer. Can I say something else? I think that your children ought to hear you pray for these areas of their life in front of them. This isn't a bad thing. This is a good thing. I think one of the most awesome things when I was growing up was to hear my dad pray specifically out loud for me. And that's awesome. You know what we'll do a lot of times? We'll have our prayer time. We'll get around the table and have our prayer time. And we'll say, Lord, bless the kids. That's not any of their names. You know, really, they're individuals. You know, they get tired of just being the kids. In my case, the girls. Bless the girls. They're not the girls, they're Amanda, and they're Hannah, and they're Tabitha. And I think it's an awesome thing from time to time to hear the voice of a parent say and name their name and pray specifically for them. And you know something? They'll listen to those prayer requests, they'll listen to your prayers, and they'll listen to what you are praying and asking God to develop into their lives. Are you following me? It's good. It'll help put it into their hearts. Step number three. Step one, proper evaluation. Step number two, pointed prayer. Now, so far, we've done nothing as far as come to the child. We're over here, properly evaluating where they're at, praying. And I think it's important to have that season of prayer before you approach them. Because a lot of times you evaluate them, and if you think they're behind a little bit, you know the next thing you want to do? You want to go over and jump down their throat. Can I share something? If they're behind on the curve, it's probably not their fault. Okay, you're not going to fix it by hollering at them. You're not going to fix it by screaming. You're not going to fix it by screaming at them. You're not going to fix it by hollering. Are you listening to me? You're not going to fix it by hollering at them and screaming at them. Step number 3. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 26. This is why this is why parenting is so humbling. Amen. Amen. That's a good thing. We could use a little more humility. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 26. Pastor read this verse the other night when he introduced his message. All right, now step number 1, proper evaluation. Step number 2, pointed prayer. Step number 3, parental modeling. By the way, we still haven't got to the kid yet. Parental modeling. I love this verse. Did you hear what he says here? Verse 26, my son, give me thine heart. That's what Pastor preached on. And what? Let thine eyes do what? Observe what? Did you hear what Solomon said to his son? He went to his son and he said, my son, give me your heart. By the way, parents, let me tell you something. It's a constant battle to keep the heart of your children. The world is always trying to snatch it away. Affections of this world, things is always trying to snatch it away. Can I say something to all of our young people? Sometimes peers try to snatch it away. And you know what? As a peer or a friend to another individual, you should never try to come between them and their parents, or never degrade their parents, or try to lessen their reliance and their love for their parents. I mean, I'd like to scalp a few of you around here. I'd like to come to some of the kids and say, well, I can't believe your mom and dad want you to do this. I can't believe your mom and dad have this. Let me tell you something. You're a stinking snake. My daddy taught me there's only one way to take care of a snake, and you got to use a hoe. Swat! You're a snake. You know what? You want their affection to be on you instead of their own parents. You go ahead and stand between them and their parents, but that's a dangerous place to be standing. Amen. I mean, the right kind of friends say, listen, you're so lucky to have Christian parents. You're so lucky that your mom and dad care enough about you to put these rules in your life. Wow. I'm telling you what, I hope you realize how good you've gotten. The right kind of friend says that thing. Amen. Parental modeling. Now listen to me. Listen to me, folks. Proper evaluation, pointed prayer, parental modeling. Remember, we say, okay, God's given me this child. I believe that this is a biblical dream. I believe this is a biblical characteristic. I believe I want my child so badly at 18, 19 to have this attribute in their life. All right, first of all, I got to evaluate where they are. Okay, I see where they are. I want to go to God in prayer over this. And then I want to, before, you know, we're always wanting to go there. Now we've got to go look in a mirror. Yeah. I didn't say the ladder wasn't painful. Because listen to me. Most character traits are more caught than taught. Okay? Are you listening to me? More caught than taught. So if I want that attribute to be in my children, first thing I've got to do is say, okay, they're going to be observing my ways. Every day they're going to be observing my ways. You know, I don't know if there's any single thing in the world, and those of you who don't have children don't understand this yet, I don't know if there's a greater motivation in the world to live for God and to do right than your children coming up under you. And boy, we ought to be on our face. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me. Help me to be this. Help me to have this attribute. Help me to do right in this area. But Lord, let me start with me before I go put any direction. Let me start with me. You know what? Brother Ron, if I'm not a hard worker, why should I expect my girls to be hard workers? If Cheryl's not a hard worker, why would we expect them to be hard workers? They're not going to be hard workers. Listen, they're going to observe our ways.